I know. You're thinking, gee, it ain't even January and you're talking about turkey hunting. Look, that's just how excited I get about Bloodline Custom Calls. I'm not lying when I say these calls are made by some sure enough turkey assassins. These guys could kill a turkey in the target parking lot, so obviously they know what these calls should sound like. And the merchandise, OMG. Hands down, some of the best hats and hoodies that you're going to find. Check them out, bloodlinecustomcalls.com, Bloodline Custom Calls on Facebook and Instagram. Really good stuff made in Ruston, Louisiana. Support a locally, state, and local place, Bloodline Custom Calls. So, the Wise Eye, it's currently at my house, and for a few reasons. Number one, it's late in the year, and I've got some does that need thinning out on my place. Number two, I enjoy wild hog sausage. Now, I've got some wild hogs on my place, okay? I've also got some wild hogs, and the other night, the Wise Eye went off, let me know that one of them was out there. I ran out there in my long handles and my Bloodline hoodie, took it out, and I love the aspect that I can do that. I can be sitting here, got a hog detected, go out there and take care of it. And then lastly, I've got probably the smartest dog I've ever had right now. And this dog knows how to get around the, you know, I've got an in-the-ground fence. And she knows how to get around that. The Wise Eye lets me know when she exceeds that. So the best thing going sale camera-wise, man, these are some great cameras. You can find them at the Digital Outdoor Store on Facebook. Amazon's got them. And you can also see them on the Wise Eye Technologies webpage. Some of the greatest cameras, clear pictures, incredible camera trigger speed. Check them out. Wise Eyes, they're the way to go. We took a little break. We're back. I know you guys have been wondering. I've had a few people ask me, hey man, when's another podcast coming out? Well, here we go. I'm not gonna lie to you. I was off and I was Christmas shopping. I was off and I was just doing just stuff. I'm sorry. Okay. We're in that kind of lull time in Louisiana. Some of you guys that may be listening out of state, this is where the lull time hits with Louisiana. When Area 2 dies down after Thanksgiving, it takes Areas 1 and 6 a little bit of time to come in. So around Christmas time, right before Christmas, it gets a little slow, but then it really starts to pick up. The one we got today, oh my goodness. I'm going to tell you, there are 8 points and then there are ones like this one. This is a huge 8 point, a great story from a guy who did it his own way. You're gonna like this. Check it out. Spread the word, man. And hey, go to the Facebook page. I still got some shirts. May have some more shirts coming. Antlers and Hicks Facebook page. I've got some shirts. Venmo me, man. I'll ship them to you. Good quality shirts at an affordable price. You won't be disappointed. Take a listen to this podcast. Share it with your friends, and let's get it going. Let me tell you something, folks. There are 8 points, and then there are deer like the one that we're going to talk about tonight. Noah, let me ask you something. First off, how do you say your last name?
Sampanaria.
Sampanaria. Okay. This guy, so Noah Short sent me a text or a Facebook message, and I'm in a stand. I think I was on the stand, and he said, I got you a podcast. And of course, you know, I've had this before. People send me stuff and I go through and I'm like, okay. There was no doubt at first when I saw the frame of the deer. I was like, okay, so this may be legit. And then I zoomed in on the picture and I was like, oh my gosh, this thing, I mean, other than some short brow tines, it's almost a 6 point.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm like, if that dude had had brow tines that were, you know, 6 inches each, my goodness, he'd be in the upper 160s.
Yep, that was definitely the only thing that killed him was his brow tines. But I mean, even with those short brow, he had about 5 inches of brow tines total, and
total
still scored 160.
Yeah, total. So look, let's talk real quick. Tell me about you. Tell me your background real quick. Your hunting background and stuff.
Yeah, so I grew up in Monroe, Louisiana. You know, grew up hunting and fishing with my buddies and went to Neville High School. Eventually went to LSU and graduated in civil engineering. Growing up, I didn't do much deer hunting. I did a bunch of time duck hunting with my dad and brother. When I did get the opportunity to go deer hunting, it was on one of my buddy's places. I had one friend in particular. His name was Cole. Him and his family really turned me on to deer hunting. I'd say they got a big piece of hunting land north of Tallulah along the Mississippi River. And I mean, we did just about everything you could think of that was outdoors related out there. We went duck hunting, trapping, coon hunting, frogging, fishing, ran trot lines. And then, of course, it had some really good deer hunting on it also. So, and his family is always generous. They let us go out there and run around, do all the hunting we wanted to. Like I said, the only time I got a chance to go deer hunting was either out there or I had a few other buddies with land. So just about every deer I've killed has been on somebody else's land except for this one.
I got you. So let me ask you this. How are you at trapping? You are you decent at trapping? Do you have a, or how do you rate yourself as far as a trapper goes?
Not very experienced. The only time we'd do it was with his dad, and his dad would teach us some tricks and stuff, but heck, I probably hadn't done it in 10 years now. I'm gonna have to start doing it again though, because we got coyotes running all over us.
And the reason I ask that is the guys that I know who are trappers, unreal at the woodsmanship that they have. I mean, they know these animals inside and out. They're meticulous with their scent. They're meticulous with the placement of the trap and the place. And I'm just like, man, that's got to make you so much better hunter doing that.
Oh yeah.
Any kind of hunter.
I remember going as a kid, his dad was just teaching us all this stuff that I thought was absurd, but you know, he was saying, you got to place this stick right here. That way the animal step over the stick and step right into the trap. And then we were looking for logs going over ditches because he said they'd like to travel those logs. And sure enough, we caught a bobcat right where we set that trap on the log.
Yeah,
and it's just a bunch of little details that I never thought about.
You got to put so much thought into what, just like you just said, the sticks or the travel route, or you got to, you know, make sure this limb is hanging low so he has to duck under. I'm like, what in the world are you talking about? But that's how it works, man. That's how it's done.
Yeah, it's definitely a cool sport.
So, all right. So you got doing all that. You got introduced to the outdoors. You got introduced with a wide variety. I think you got hit probably like drinking out of a fire hose. It sounds like you were getting some of all of it.
Oh yeah.
So you fell in love with what? Obviously duck hunting, but I mean, what was your main objective as a young man?
Well, you know, I really just loved the outdoors, and growing up, I was dead set on being a farmer. And so I started doubting that in college, and just anything to do with hunting or fishing, I was all about it. Which, you know, I'm not a great outdoorsman, but I'm learning. And so I would say, you know, I've kind of hung up the duck hunting. I still go, but not near as much as I used to. I'm practically just all about the deer hunting now.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know. It's probably, you know, I got introduced to bow hunting, and my buddy Cole, he had given me a old bow. So I was going bow hunting out there, killed a buck with it. And so I think definitely deer hunting's what I'm into now.
So let's talk about bow hunting, because that's my thing. Bow hunting, I love archery. Man, I've got a picture of me. Now, I'm a little older than you are, okay? I got a picture of me in I guess around 83, 84. I got my cut-off blue jeans on, and I got a little sleeveless T-shirt on. I'm probably about 5 years old. And my dad had bought me a red, little bitty red, one of them red bows that little boys used to, or little kids used to shoot back in those days. So I've been shooting bows my whole life. How did you like, or do you like archery? Did you take to it, or was it something that you kind of like, I don't know if I like this just yet?
No, I learned how to shoot a bow, and me and my buddy, we went out to the stand. He taught me how to shoot his bow that day. We're in a ground blind out of his camp, and he actually missed 3 times in a row. And finally, I'm like, let me see that bow. And so he passes me that bow, first shot ever, heart shot a doe. She ran about 25 yards, and I still hold that over his head to this day.
I bet you do. But, look, I'm going to tell you, it don't always work that way, okay? it doesn't work that way every time.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And I need to practice more than I do, but, you know, I usually only bring it out coming up on deer season. I start shooting a little bit, and then, you know, then I'll just get in the tree, so...
Yeah, I've gotten, and this is something maybe you could look at to kind of get you shooting throughout the year. Look at, I think, called the Total Archery Challenge. Okay. I've gone to Tennessee, and I've gone to Oklahoma, and I really, really want to get out to Big Sky, Montana. It's a tour of an archery shoot. Now, you don't compete against anybody. You just go out there and you shoot. The competition is the course itself. Let me tell you something, because they are hard shots. I'm talking about, like, they're real shots you would take in the field. Like, one of them was a 60-yard bedded ram. My shot window was probably maybe a 10-inch window between two trees. And those were about 50 yards. And, I mean, it really – you just don't want to get up and go one day and just say, oh, I hadn't shot all year, so let me go shoot this. No, you want to practice. You want to take plenty of arrows. But let me tell you something, man, it is unreal. Number one, how fun it is, and number two, how much more confidence and how to keep you shooting throughout the year.
Oh, yeah. That sounds like something I need to look into.
Yeah, take a look at it. Take a look at it. All right, so this you made a hint earlier. You said, I've killed every deer out there except this one. Isn't that what you said?
Yep, that's what I said.
Now tell me what that means. Tell everybody what that means.
So, in college, another one of my buddies that was in engineering with me, his name was Matthew. He was also like a part-time real estate agent at Brown Realty, which he still works there. And his dad does real estate full-time up there. And so we were always with each other studying and, you know, just hanging out, whatever it was in college. And he started telling me about owning land and how good of an investment it is. And so I started looking into the numbers, and, you know, I thought eventually that was something that I wanted to do. So anytime I was around his dad, you know, we'd get to talking about land, and he'd always tell me, Noah, it's the only thing they're not making more of. And so, you know, I was pondering on that, like, well, it really is the only thing they're not making any more of. So, you know, I just told him, I was like, look, well, if y'all find a piece that would suit me, that's got some good deer hunting, then let me know. And I wasn't, you know, expecting for him to find anything soon necessarily. I figured it'd be, you know, a long time before they came across a piece that fit me. Well, about probably 3 months after that conversation, I'd been working for about 2 weeks, and he called me and he's like, my dad found the perfect spot for you. I was like, well, what is it? You know, I didn't think I was going to be able to actually do it, but I was going to hear him out. He said, it's 80 acres. It's north of Tallulah. Got 10 years left in the CRP contract. And most importantly, it's about 4 miles west of where you grew up hunting at Cole's Camp. So I get online and I look at the pictures on the realtor website, and it had some nice bucks on it. And, ended up talking to my parents, and I'm laying out the numbers for them, saying, look, this would be a good investment. Me and dad have always wanted to do it. And so I finally convinced them that it'd be something smart to do. And we went out there and looked at it. And at that point I had to have it after laying my eyes on it. And you know, we ended up closing on it about March of 2021. So then, you know, after that, it was, me and my dad realized, all right, now we got 80 acres to take care of. And we ended up, you know, going out in the woods. We had trim up a bunch of shooting lanes, you know, I was putting out mineral blocks, hanging stands, just all the normal activities. And on top of that, I was like, well, kind of need a camp out here. And somebody had told me about an old cheap single wide that somebody was trying to get rid of. So I got my hands on that, and, you know, got a dirt pad built, driveway, septic system, all that stuff set up out there, and then eventually built a porch around it. And by that time, it was about time for hunting season of 2021. You know, I say that it was about August, and I really hadn't had anything great on camera then. But one morning, I can't remember the exact day, my dad called me, and he said, Bullwinkle has showed up. And I was confused, and I was like, what do you mean Bullwinkle showed up? He said, go look at the Spy Point app. So I go and check the app, and sure enough, it was this beautiful 8-point in velvet. I couldn't believe it. And so I sat there, and I said, Bullwinkle? He said, yeah, that's Bullwinkle. And so ever since then, I mean, it's just been this Bullwinkle. I mean, it fired me up. I started showing all my buddies pictures of him. You know, we're guessing how old he is, what he's going to score, how I'm going to kill him. It was just about in every conversation we had, I'd say. So as deer season got closer last year, you know, he kind of quit moving as much. He was only moving at nighttime. He'd be on me like every other week, probably. So about the second week in a bow season, I hadn't seen him on camera in a little while, and I was itching to get some first blood on the new place. I went out there and shot a doe on the first hunt, and after that, I was like, all right, it's time to hunt this deer the rest of the year. So, you know, fast forwarding to December, it was, I think, December 10th, I see where he had showed back up, and he was hitting this scrape that I had a camera over. And so I was planning on hunting him that next morning. But being naive, I was just thinking, oh, he's only going to move at night just like he has and every other day. So we're down at my buddy's Cole, at my buddy Cole's camp. It's just right down the road. And, you know, we're staying out on the porch, having a good time cooking and playing cornhole and stuff. And his dad starts talking. He said, I don't know what it is, but it's something about December 9th through the 12th. And they've just always been good days around here. We've always killed pretty big bucks on those days. So we end up staying out on the back porch too late. And next morning, my alarm went off. I rolled out of bed, looked out the window, and it was raining. There's a big cold front moving through. So I get back in bed and get up about 8, and we're just sitting around the camp. And I finally check my Spy Point app. He was under one of my bow stands at 9 a.m. Then he hit another one of my box stands at 10 a.m. Then he hit a different box stand at 10:30.
Golly.
So, I know. And I'm sitting at the camp with a heavy head. And so I immediately start getting dressed. I'm like, oh, I got to get him. He's out there. He's moving right now. And I had a bow stand. It was the only stand he had not hit that day, but it was over that scrape he had hit the night before, and the wind was right for it. So I, there's old Parrish Road that runs parallel to my camp. So I had another one of my friends drive me down it in his truck. I didn't want to spook him or anything. And I hopped out and snuck in the woods and set from about 12 to dark. And about 5:15, he showed back up at a box stand on the opposite side of the property.
Oh man.
Yeah. I mean, it was, just it hurt bad. And you know, I hunted him the rest of that year, and he came out two more times during the day that I saw on camera, and both times I was sitting at the office working, couldn't have been in the woods. So that didn't hurt as bad as those days, or that day that, you know, I should have been out there and I wasn't. But so he got away last year, and I actually had pictures of him after the season, so I knew he was still alive out there. So I gave a little bit of hope for this hunting season.
I got you. So let me ask you this. If you had gone at daylight that morning, do you know which stand you were going to go to?
It was not going to be any of those three stands. It was going to be the stand that I ended up hunting that was over that scrape he had hit the night before. Because I figured after that rain, he was going to have to go back, freshen up that scrape. And the wind was right for it, but
okay. Well, that makes me feel a little bit better for you, because you wouldn't have got him anyway, right?
Yeah,
he didn't go to, he didn't go to that stand at all.
That is true.
So that makes me feel. I was going to be like, my goodness, but then I'm going to be honest with you, dude. I've been doing this. I started scoring deer and writing. I started writing about deer in 2010 for various magazines and websites, and scoring deer in 2012. And I'm telling you, man, when it's your time to kill a big deer, it's just your time. And obviously that year it wasn't your time, and he skirted, you got away. And so here we are, 2022, yep. Coming up on yep. deer season. Did you get any pictures of him, like, in the preseason?
So leading up on deer season this year, I was studying for the professional engineering exam, which is a big 8-hour test, and, you know, I put in months studying, so I had barely any time to be out in the woods. And, you know, I still had cameras out, and I was checking for them, but I just wasn't near as invested as I was last year. So, finally, I take my test about the end of October, and, you know, I'm freed up to go get in the woods now. I didn't even get to do any bow hunting this year. And, so still hadn't had a picture of him by the time I took my test, like October 20 something, and 28th, I think. So the next week I get my results back. It's early November, and I found out that I had passed, and I'd still only been in the woods one time. So I found out I passed on the middle of that week. Very next day, here he is on camera for the first time.
There's your gift. Congratulations on passing your test. Here I am going to show up and tease you a little bit more.
Yeah, I told my girlfriend, I said, that was God there, because if I'd have had him on camera, it would have been hard to study for that test.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man.
Yeah.
Goodness. So he shows up. He shows up. You've passed your test. Life is going to be on cruise control for a little while. Do you immediately zone in on him, or do you kind of pull it out?
I put all my attention on this dang deer. Like, it was, you know, I probably took it overboard, but I had maps printed out where I had marked every single time I had him on camera, the weather. I was trying to figure out a pattern. I was like, I'm going to outsmart this sucker, and I'm going to get him. And so after all that, I mean, there was no patterns, except for the only thing I could pinpoint was he was coming every 13 to 15 days all last year and this year whenever I had him on camera. So, so every 13, 15 days he was showing up, and I hadn't seen him since, I think it was December 10th. I know it was, because that's whenever he showed up during the daytime, and I had an engagement party to go to. So I just had this feeling that he was going to be there. And sure enough, he showed up on December 10th. It wasn't in the day, though. But ironically, it was Cole, the guy that I grew up hunting with. It was his engagement party. I'd been, you know, just giving him a hard time, saying, you're going to make me miss this buck. And anyway, so he comes out December 10th. And so I start counting up the days, and I'm like, all right, this is going to be perfect. He'll be there Christmas. I'll be off work Friday and Monday, and I'll be able to hunt him whenever he gets back in the woods. So I get him back on camera December 21st. So he was there a few days early. And that same night, I get about 5 pictures of him. Then my camera dies right after taking those pictures. So that's a Wednesday. So Thursday, I'm at work. I can't think about anything except for getting in the woods. I'm sitting there checking the wind, looking at my other cameras. It was killing me. And I finally get off work and, you know, get out there. And I felt like a kid going hunting for the first time again. I had all my clothes laid out, had the coffee pot ready, so it'd be ready in the morning. I had my bottles of water, a little protein bar. I was going to sit all day Friday. So I get out there Friday morning, and that's whenever that big cold front just blowing through. It was like 12 degrees, 15-mile-an-hour winds. But the wind was perfect for the stand I was hunting. It was coming out of the northwest. My camp's kind of on the northwest side of my property, and I was hunting a stand right on the north end of it. It's probably 500 yards from my camp, so it's an easy walk in. I was able to get in and out without being detected. So I sit there till like 10 a.m. and I start texting Matthew that sold me the land. And he sends me a picture of these timetables. And at this point, I'll believe anything if it tells me I need to be in the woods. So it said the peak time was going to be from, I think, 11:30 to 1:30. So I get off the stand about 10 and go back to the camp, go to the bathroom, and then get right back on the stand by about 10:45. And then, sure enough, the deer just start piling in there about 12:30, I'd say. And I had deer on me the rest of the hunt, but never saw a bullwinkle.
Right.
So after dark, all the deer are out of the field. I get out there and I sneak out in the lane and change the batteries on my camera. Go back to the camp. As soon as I get back to the camp, I don't know, probably been 45 minutes. There he is, right in the lane, looking at my camera. So I knew he was there. And
This was when you left?
Well, I just went back to the camp.
It was at night.
Yeah, it was at night.
Okay.
Yeah, this was after the hunt. It was about 6:45 or so whenever he came out. And he was there for about 30 minutes and then didn't see him again on camera. So the next morning, I get back in the stand and I see a few deer early that morning. I texted Matthew again. I said, send me those timetables for today. And so it said the peak time was going to be from 12:30 to 2. And just like the day before, I got off at like 10 for about 45 minutes, but my buddy Cole had just finished duck hunting and he came by the camp and we were sitting there talking and I was telling him, man, I don't know if I'm going to get him this year because I'm supposed to be going out of the country January 5th. I'm going to be gone till the 15th, which is just about the peak rut over there. And I was like, if he's going to slip up, it's going to be during the rut. He's going to be chasing a doe. I just think he's too smart to come out in the day. And so we have this conversation. He leaves about 10:45. I'm back on the stand before 11. Don't see any deer till 12. And I'm out there just looking through the woods, and all I see is horns coming through the woods. And so my heart starts racing, and I pull up my binoculars, and I'm looking at them. I watch them as long as I could. And then it went off in some thick brush, and I don't see him for about 10 minutes, I'd say. Then I start hearing some rustling in the woods, and I see some does working out towards the field. So I'm like, all right, he's going to be behind these does. And I get ready. And those does are out in the field for probably 5 minutes. And I'm start looking in the woods again through my binoculars, see if I could see him coming. And as soon as I turn back to the field, he's sitting there with his butt to me, eating some rice bran. So I get ready, get my gun up. I'm looking at him through the scope from behind where he is looking like a monster. I mean, you can just see them tall tines sticking up. And I probably sat there and looked at him for 3 minutes. It felt like it was probably 30 minutes. And by that point, my scope was going from the front shoulder to the stomach. I was shaking so bad. Mm-hmm. And so I'm like, no, this is your shot. You've got to get a hold of things. So I'll take a deep breath, kind of reposition, and, get settled in good. And by that time, he turned broadside. I smoked him. He fell right in his tracks.
Really?
Yeah, it was. And, it doesn't really hit you. Whenever I was the most just out of breath and shaking and everything was after I had killed him. I was shaking pretty bad leading up to it, but it was nothing like after killing him.
How was it? I mean, was it hard? You said that you were shaking and your scope was moving around. Did you have to really think and say, hey, look, I'm here for a purpose. Let me make sure I do this right. Did you have to really kind of calm yourself down?
Oh, yeah, that's exactly what I did. I was like, this is your shot. You've been hunting this deer this is going on 2 years now. You've got to take advantage of this. And after that, I was steady, made a perfect shot at him. But it definitely took me sitting there saying, look, this is for real.
Well, I'm looking at the picture right now. The first thing I notice, and this is just from somebody who sees a lot of deer, he's got a very big head. This deer's got a forehead that is, he's got a big head, and it almost looks like a Brahma bull, the way his ears kind of droop. a little bit. Yeah. I mean, he has a big front end on him.
That's what the taxidermist told me today. He said, this deer's skull was huge. And I was like, what does that mean? And he's like, well, it means he didn't think he was fully developed. He was like, his bone structure is good, but I don't think he's as old as we're thinking he is. And he looked at his teeth and said, his teeth are showing that he's 4.5, but I think he's got to be older than that.
Yeah, that head. I mean, that is, you know, you see big, around here, you'll see the head. And I can tell you this, the head here versus the head on the deer and that come out of the Great Plains, out of the Midwest. They're not quite, they're a little different. They have bigger bone structure there. This deer has that style bone structure with his head. I mean, it is really, really prevalent, heavy. His ears, I can't get over how his ears just kind of, I mean, you know, you'll see him, but I mean, this really, I mean, if you took the horns off of him, he'd look like a darn bull, man. I mean, because his ears just kind of droop, and he's just swole up in the front. He is. How much did he weigh? Did y'all weigh him?
So whenever I walked, I weighed him. Whenever I walked up, I thought, I mean, whenever you're laying in that lane, I said, that's got to be a 230, 240-pound deer. And we put him on the scale. He was 210, which is a big deer, but I was expecting him to be heavier than that.
Yeah, I was expecting more along that lines, what you were saying, 230. I wouldn't have been surprised to you to say 240, 250. Because he's long. He's really long. But, man, that is impressive. Now, when we get down to the score of this deer, I'm looking at your score sheet. You know, people always fuss. They'll say, oh, well, these buck contests, yada, yada, yada. Well, I will tell you, the guys over at Simmons have been very, very close to me this year.
Yeah.
And when I see a main beam length, both main beams over 29 inches, my eyes get big around, and I'm like, hold on now. So I click back, and I go back to the picture of you guys, you with the close-up of you and that deer, and I'm like, the way they turn up, that very well could be 29 inches.
Yeah. I knew he had long main beams looking at pictures. You know, looking at trail camera pictures, I thought, I didn't know if he's going to break 150. And that's what everybody had told me. Some people had been telling me he's going to be mid 140s. I thought he was going to be closer to 150. And then I had one guy tell me that's 160 inch 8 point. I was like, but no brow times. He said, look at those main beams, man. And that's the only person that was close looking at trail camera pictures. But yeah, we started scoring that thing. So right after I killed him, I tried to call my dad and he didn't answer. Tried to call my girlfriend. She didn't answer. So I called Cole. He was climbing up in a tree at his place, and I don't even remember the conversation, but he said I could barely even talk. I was breathing so hard. I was saying, Bullwinkle is dead in the lane. He's dead in the lane. So Cole, he's doing that saddle hunting. So he gets his sticks, and he's running through the woods. He said he gets to his truck. He probably makes it to my camp in like 10 minutes. And he didn't know where I was hunting, so you know, he was like, I'm just going to take off running diagonally through the woods. So it sounds like, I mean, a mammoth is coming through the woods. And I hadn't even gotten down yet. I open up, I just see him hauling butt through the woods. I'm like, Cole. He comes up to me. And we walk up there and saw it. And just like I said, I mean, him sitting in that lane, he looked like a monster. But anyway, we started scoring him. And we were getting that he was in the high 150s. We thought we had added something wrong, and so he's in the high 150s. We better tighten this tape way up. I mean, we don't want to, you know, we'd rather lowball them than
absolutely.
People say we're loose scoring them. So we scored them three times. Every single time, you know, he's in the high 150s. And then I brought him up to Simmons and 160 and 6/8 inches.
Yeah. So it's the one main beam, the right main beam is over 20, is right at 29. Left main beam is 29 3/8. Yeah. Now this is, and I'm gonna skip to brow times for a moment. Yeah. Then you go to the twos, 12 6/8, and 12 5/8. So you've got 25 inches just in twos. And for those who are listening, twos are the third point on the deer. You got the brow tines, then the P or G1, then the P or G2.
Then you're closing in on 60 inches worth of main beam length.
Right. I said that wrong. The P1, the G1, the ones are the brow tines. Twos are the next ones. And then the what we'll call the threes, one of them's 9, one of them's 10. I mean, that's still extra long. So, I mean, everything that this deer has is incredibly long. The circumference measurements, he was pretty smooth on the circumference. I'm looking at him. Every one of them's over 4 except the last one.
Yeah.
And they aren't, I mean, they're like the last, let's see, the third circumference is 4 and then 4 1/8. And then the next one is 3 2/8 and 3. So, I mean, he didn't lose a ton. I mean, sometimes you'll see that last circumference measurement be around 2 inches.
Yeah.
He was good. I mean, to everything it takes. And then you got the inside spread. What is that? Is that 18 or 19
and 5/8? 19 and 5/8.
Yeah, 19 and 5/8 for a gross of 160 and 6/8. That is impressive, man.
Yeah.
Golly.
He's definitely a stud.
Yeah.
I mean, so, people are saying I've ruined myself now because that's my first trophy to kill. They're like, it's going to be hard to top that one.
Yeah. Well, you know, people say that. It's hard to top. It's hard to top. But I think, you know, as the story that goes along with the deer is, to me, is just as good as a score. You've got a great story with this deer. One thing we haven't told people, how old are you?
25.
25 years old. This guy goes out and buys him a piece of land. Now, if I could go back to Greg Hicks at 25 years old, I'd shake me and say, hey, bro, go find you some land to hunt on. Because all the money you would spend on a lease, you could have done invested in a piece of property.
Yep.
And, that was... man, hats off to you for – and kudos to the guys that were telling you to do that. You know, encouraging you to do that, because that's what I think a lot more people should look into is, you know, if you've got the capabilities, you've got, you know, if you're money savvy and you can put your money back and manage your money right, you know, investing in land is never, ever going to do you wrong, because like they said, they're not making any more of it and you'll always get your money back out of it.
Yep. And like you said, you know, you'd spend that money on a lease somewhere, and if you can kill good bucks off your own place and invest in the land
and have it forever. Yeah. And then do what you want to on it. And man, so let me ask you something. What's your dad like now? What's his prognosis? Is he looking forward to hunting anymore or what? What's going on with him?
So the thing is, he wanted me to kill this buck more than, you know, or just as much as I wanted to. And he had barely even been deer hunting. And so now he's ready to go. He wanted me to get that buck, though. He doesn't do a ton of deer hunting, and, you know, that's why I didn't grow up doing a ton of it. But he's ready to get in the woods now.
Well, that's good, man. You know, stuff like this, you kill a good one, it'll light a fire. You've got land, you've got a camp. I'm telling you, man, I am very envious. And I mean, I don't even know you, but I'm really, really happy for you that you got something like that, man. That's awesome. That is all. At 25 years old, man, you're gonna be an old man like me one day, and you're gonna look back and say, man, that's probably one of the best investments I ever made. I'm telling you.
Yes, sir.
So
I appreciate it.
Well, look, man, let me tell you something. I'm gonna be out at Simmons when they do their scoring event. I'd love to take a look at your deer score for Buckmasters. This deer to be an 8 point with only 5 inches, a little over 5 inches of brow tine. Golly, man, that is, I want to look at it. I want to score it officially. Whew, that's a good one, man.
Yes, sir. Right. I'll be out there whenever they do the drawing and everything. So
good deal. Well, we will see you then. Look, man, hey, I appreciate you coming on and giving us this time to talk about your deer. Oh, one thing I want to ask you, what kind of rifle are you shooting with?
Remington 700 308.
Okay. Okay. See, I've got a model set, a Remington Model 7, which is similar to the 700. I love that Remington, man. I mean, I don't know. I've had that gun in mine for 30-something years, and it's a 7mm 08, which isn't too terribly different from a 308, but it's that 308 caliber, you ain't going to beat it. I mean, you can go anywhere in North America and kill a deer with 308.
Yeah. Yeah, I've never had one run with it. I've enjoyed shooting it so far. I've had it for about 5 years, I'd say.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been a great going so far.
Well, I tell you what, man. Congratulations. And I hope to get to talk to you again because you got a good piece of property. I hope everything works out where I can either talk to you or talk to your dad. I'd like to talk to your dad, and hopefully he'll get him one day.
Yes, sir. I hope so, too. I hope so, too.
I do. Well, hey, I appreciate you coming on, and we'll talk at you later, okay?
All right. I appreciate you having me. Have a good one.
Yes, sir. You too. Well, how about that? Now, does that not light your fire for trying to find a place of your own? I'm telling you, I'm sitting here recording this right now, and I'm two shakes from texting my real estate buddy and saying, hey, man, I'm legit looking for a little place. Great job, Noah. Thank you for doing that and showing, you know, people so much, the younger generation out there. If you guys love to hunt, duck hunt, fish, deer hunt, whatever, man, go look at a piece of property. Invest your money wisely. I can't stress that enough, man. There are things in this world that you need to be cognizant of, and money management is one of them. You cannot go wrong by investing in land. Like Noah said, they ain't making any more of it. You're going to waste your money on a lease. You might as well. If you're young, please, I'm telling you, make plans right now. Sit down with your family and talk about buying a piece of property. Also, I want you to know, guys, I'm not doing this podcast so that we can blast where these deer are being killed. I'm just doing it to share stories. I don't want these deer to get out there and people flood a piece of property or flood an area. That's not why I'm doing this. I'm doing this so that we can share stories. All I want to know is what area these animals were killed in. That's it. So keep that in mind. If you want to do a podcast with me, if you don't want to say where it was killed, we don't have to say. All I need is the story. Where it was killed is irrelevant, okay? I like stories. I like hearing how people did and accomplished their goals and how they came across them. My name is Greg Hicks. This is the Antlers and Hicks podcast. And as always, I'm going to encourage you guys to live your life past 20 yards. We'll see you next time.